is an Auburn Network production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. You know, if this were the old days, when we could play music that people recognized and knew, we got a couple of songs we could be playing right now. I mean, we'd have opened up. Is anybody going to San Antonio? I mean, you know, because you know what? I know a lot of people that are, and that is a big, big venue there, the Alamo Dome. Mm-hmm. So the tickets. You may need binoculars or a telescope to see the floor, but just the opportunity of being there, I think, is really, really something. Is Auburn heading back to the Final Four for just the second time in school history? And now Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com and Coach Don Dunn alongside Bill here. Dan is about as far away as he can be. Dan is in Fargo for the Troy women taking on North Dakota State tonight in the
Fargo.
In the Great Eight, I believe is what it is. Dang. of the women's NIT. But Brian, I think you can now say there is no question this is the best Auburn basketball team ever, because they have now won more games than any Auburn basketball team, and they've advanced as far and have an opportunity to advance farther than any Auburn basketball team ever.
And they won the conference when it's at the absolute peak of its powers.
Yes. Yeah. Won it, you know, undisputed. I mean, yes, in a year that a lot of people are saying is statistically the best year ever of college basketball.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've got it done. And you look at their run over there in Atlanta, the two games they've won. Janai Broom was terrific. Tahai Pettiford was terrific.
Yes,
Denver Jones, really good. But, you know, that wasn't the best couple of games from Miles Kelly and Chad Baker-Mazzara.
No, not at all.
And that just tells you this team is capable of even more. And they'll probably need a little bit more, obviously, in San Antonio, but they can bring it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought it was definitely a step back in the right direction toward that team that was just cruising.
Yep.
You know, mid toward the late season, when everything was going. It's not there yet. I was asked that this morning. No, I wouldn't say that they're back, that it's all the way back. But it definitely was a step back that way, and you feel like they can make it. The biggest question right now is, how healthy is Janai?
I mean, I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that he does not show
up
ready to go.
Oh, I don't either.
Saturday. And, you know, the fact that he was able to come back in the game is probably a good sign.
Well, it was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, he was rebounding with one arm.
Yeah. But he was dominant against some pretty good big men and a really good defense in Michigan State. He carried Auburn for that game. And then I think the team deserves a lot of credit for that 5 minutes he was out to hang in there and keep the lead just about the same. And then he came in there and made that
incredible shot. Yeah, I think it was only like 1 point difference while he was out. So, again, Auburn responding, cutting down the nets in Atlanta, and now heading to San Antonio. So, there will be quite a few Auburn folks heading to the Alamo Dome.
It was a great crowd yesterday for Auburn.
It sure sounded like it on TV.
I mean, people were saying 90-10, and I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, it was just a huge Auburn crowd, and they were into it the whole game. When Janai hit that shot, that place just exploded.
Oh, the three?
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding. The place went crazy when he came back in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Auburn yesterday in a game, let's see, I guess they trailed briefly. Didn't they trail 8-6, I believe, before they went on that big run?
Yeah, with
that 17-0 run.
15 minutes to go or so in the first half, and that was it.
Went on that 17-0 run and then never trailed again. Nope. I mean, you got a little nervous when Janai was hurt and they cut it to single digits, but Auburn was able to maintain. And as a matter of fact, the final You know, Auburn was, it was more comfortable than at 70-64.
It was.
Because they had right at a 10-point lead under a minute.
And had they made more foul shots and not turned the ball there, it would have been, they would have walked out of there with a dozen-point win or more.
Yeah, so there is, we have a matchup that has only happened once before, where all four of the number one seeds are there. 2008 was the only other time. And I don't know. I mean, Doug Amos asked me this earlier today, and I can't argue with it. I mean, it is probably as competitive a Final Four. I mean, usually there's a team you feel like, or maybe two, you feel like, well, these are the class. Yeah. Sometimes you feel like, well, this semifinal is going to be for the national championship because whoever wins is going to – any of these four teams, any of these four teams have a legitimate right to feel like, yeah, they can win this whole thing.
They do. I felt like going in the tournament, Florida was playing the best. I think Duke has played the best for four games. Mm-hmm. But I can absolutely see Houston and Auburn winning in the semifinals and going to the finals. I mean, I just think it's going to be that day on that court for 2 hours.
Who is the best each game?
Yeah, I think about Denver. I think he gave up 19 points to Florida's guard, Walter
Clayton.
Yeah, Walter Clayton. And I just imagine that he is going to be very, very motivated to go out there and be that shutdown guy he's been most of the year.
Walter Clayton right now
looks really good.
It looks like the best guard in college basketball. He does. I mean, he was phenomenal. Florida did not, they weren't as dominant here in the tournament, but how are you going to argue with the fact that they're in the Final Four?
Yep.
But I mean, they have had moments where they struggled some, but not Clayton.
Texas Tech had them.
They
almost had them.
No, they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, to see Clayton do something like he did the other day and just dribble in under the basket and then turn around and dribble back outside, just turn around three swish.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's going no. Oh, great shot.
Oh yeah. No kidding. Yeah. So I mean, it is four. I think it is four great teams. I really do. Houston is the great defensive team, but they've got some guys that can beat you when they need to. I mean, they can. They're not. I felt like Tennessee was a defensive team that, you know, had to have Lanier or somebody really go off. Houston's got enough offense that they can still beat you, but they're gonna squeeze you and squeeze you squeeze you. Unbelievable. They held Tennessee to 15 first-half points.
Incredible. I mean, Tennessee is challenged offensively at times, but what they did to Tennessee was just incredible.
That is the fewest points a two-seed has ever had
in
an NCAA tournament. And if I'm not mistaken, Don, the NCAA tournament played before the shot clock.
Yeah.
There were NCAA tournaments before the shot clock.
Oh, yes.
And this is the fewest points for a two-seed.
Yeah, it was a tough day for the Vols.
So the SEC with two teams, and there will be an SEC team in the championship, but they've got it pretty much set where it's SEC versus SEC, and then you have ACC versus the Big 12 for the other semifinal. Auburn plays, I believe it's 5:09 on Saturday. So I haven't checked the weather. Have you checked the weather for San Antonio?
It is going to be sunny and up in the 80s for most of the week, but then a front comes through and it gets down in the 60s, I think.
Is it going to
over the weekend?
Hopefully, it's not going to rain a lot.
I don't think so.
I hope not. I mean, all right, because we've got our whole the whole family is going. I mean,
the Krampus,
including
we're
load up the truck and head to San Antonio. including the not even 6 month old.
Yeah,
so I mean, everybody's going.
That's awesome. Yeah. And like we were talking, Bill, earlier, you never know. It's so
you're
hard.
Right.
It's so hard to get to the Final Four, and it's a great thing for everybody. And I went into work last night, and I couldn't even drive through Toomer's Corner because it looked like a blizzard. I've never seen it like that ever.
I've seen it like that a couple of times.
Wow,
but it's not very common.
And it was really pretty.
It was multiple times.
Yeah,
because right after the game, we were down there right after the game, and then when the team got back, then it happened again. There's another celebration.
Well,
down there.
There was people still down there when I went in at 1:30.
Wow,
hanging out, throwing stuff, and it police. I mean, nobody. I mean, they were just having a good time.
Oh yeah, rightfully so. So,
and just think of the money that this town made on Saturday. I drove downtown Saturday.
Yeah.
Every bar, people walking. It was like a football home game.
Yeah.
The atmosphere. Everybody in their you know their jerseys and their shirts and pretty daggone cool.
Yeah, it really was. We'd love to hear from you. It's as I mentioned, Bill, Don, Brian, Matthews, MauburnSports.com. Drew is at the controls. love to get your thoughts on, you know, the road to San Antonio or your thoughts on the matchups this week. Lot to talk about, though. I mean, basketball's not the only thing. It's definitely the biggest thing. But, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. Football practice will continue tomorrow. Brian, were you over there today?
I was. We talked to, I think, about a half dozen players. And then tomorrow we get a practice viewing period.
Early. 8:15. Don said he wanted to make it.
I won't make it tomorrow, but I will. No, Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Then trying to get Don out there. So I want to get his, you know, eyes on some of the.
He's headed straight to the D line.
Oh yeah, that's fine. That's right. I want to hear because Auburn could.
If
you
it's
know,
not too far.
That's one of the questions that we have is you know about
they
some
got,
depth.
They got
the
some pretty looking defensive.
They
line.
Really do.
I mean, some of those guys are young and learning, and it's going to take a little while. But they got some nice looking kids.
All right, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. You can also text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number, 334-564-1840. And let's get to the phones, and Bill gets us started. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I have an idea about this game against Florida. I believe that the experience we've gotten, having played some very good seven-footers with Creighton, and then, obviously, Michigan was big inside. I think that'll help us going into this Florida thing because if we can at least play our neutralizer inside guys and play as good a defense as we've been playing, I think we got a puncher's chance at this.
Oh, I think it's more than a puncher's chance. And I go back to last year.
Remember Auburn how
went
different
down to Florida
those games were?
Yes. And we got run out of the gym. I'm not exaggerating. They really did. And then come SEC championship game, Auburn put it on Florida pretty good. So, you know, I'm not saying Auburn's going to do that again, but, you know, I think Florida is a tough matchup because they're good. They got good guards and they got good big men that can match up. But don't discount what Auburn can bring to the table, too, especially when everybody's firing on all cylinders.
Oh, and I didn't mean to imply that, Jason. I guess what I was trying to get at, I believe that having played, I mean, Michigan was inside was as big as they come.
Yes.
And we certainly neutralized those guys at some point, and I think that was a good testing ground for what's coming Saturday. I believe when I say a puncher's chance, I probably shortchange this a little. I believe we'll win the basketball game. It may not be the best looking game, but I think we'll win the basketball game.
Who cares what it looks like if you win?
That's right.
Win a national semifinal.
I could care less what it looks like, but Florida may be a little overconfident playing us. You know, they went and they've had a couple games where they've gone like 5 or 6 minutes not really scoring very well. And
yeah, you know, I feel like the last few games, Florida is playing like a team that everybody's looking at saying they ought to win. I think Auburn felt that pressure a little bit down the stretch.
That's a great point.
And I think Florida may be feeling it a little bit right now.
I agree with you. And, you know, maybe those – and maybe at the end of the day, they're young men, they're kids, and so they read that stuff just like we do. They may go into this Auburn game a little bit overconfident, but either way, I think we got something for them, and I'm really excited about the opportunity this team has. People count them out. We lost two or three games here at the end of the season, but they've. They found a way to win, and you know when one thing wasn't working, they went to something else, and we were able to win basketball game. I'm really proud of the effort the guys have put in. And looking forward to Saturday. War Eagle, guys.
Appreciate the call, Bill. All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Right back with more of your phone calls as we continue with the Monday Drive.
The Drive.
Question. I'm assuming that it's going to be like it was this past weekend where they will not, you cannot listen to Andy and the guys on the streaming.
Right.
Is that, well, Bill, I was listening to you last week with Wimp and Barry. And after you were off, I listened to the last few minutes, and they were talking about, you know, listen to us, you know, to what, 100.9 FM on Saturday or Friday for the Alabama game. So at the end of the game, I was watching on TV, but I turned over to their app, and sure enough, they had Chris Stewart and his broadcast on. So why can Alabama do it and we can't?
That's a really good question, John. I know. I mean, they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
But I guess if nobody turns them in, then they can do it. Yeah, why not?
We'll rub a little salt
on that open wound. Yeah, that'd be great.
But I was kind of surprised, and I miss listening to Andy because I've got it down where I can listen to the on the court cam thing on YouTube, and if I pause it for
split second,
and I can sync it up, and I can mute the TV. But I missed doing that for this. But the other thing I was going to ask you: did you see who got the Junior College Coach of the Year in Tennessee?
No, I sure didn't.
An old name from the Sonny Smith days, Johnny Lynn at Ball State Community College.
Wow.
Junior college coach. I didn't know he was still coaching.
I didn't either.
Or ever coaching.
So obviously he's the head coach there. Where is that? Is that in Knoxville?
That's from Gallatin, right outside of Nashville. Okay. 30-40 minutes out of Nashville. But I'm telling you, my brother Chris had it on his Facebook page probably a couple weeks ago, but he didn't post a whole lot. So if you look at the picture, when I first looked at it, I swear he looked like Terry Bowden.
Oh my. So, yeah, a little change through the
Johnny's
years.
Johnny's aged a little bit.
Yeah.
But I hadn't heard that name since he left.
No, I hadn't either.
But yeah, he's a coach at Ball State Community College and was Coach of the Year.
Well, that's cool. Good for him.
All right, guys. Well, War Eagle, I enjoyed this weekend. I've enjoyed this team about as much as any I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. And John, I was thinking about you the other day. Thursday morning, I got up, I did an early morning thing, and then a couple of hours later, I was thinking there was something I was going to do. So I'll try to remember again this week.
Every week about 9:15. Man, and I told Floyd and Therese to come too. So
yeah. Man, you're not kidding. All right, Brian just turned the picture. Yeah. You're right. He does look like Terry Bowden.
I was looking like, wow. Terry Bowden coaching. Yeah, so pretty crazy. All right, guys. Well, War Eagle, and don't tell my brother Chris I got that app on my phone. He would not be happy with me.
All right, John. Take care, man.
We'll see you.
334-321-1390, and Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill, Coach Dunn Brown. How y'all doing today?
Great.
The Final Four, I was getting all the talk, and it should. It's a huge accomplishment. I'm interested in the spring practice, and I'm interested in what Hugh Freeze is saying, Brian. And I don't give a rip about the defense at all because defense has not been the problem down at Auburn. The problem has been offense.
Yes.
So what is taking place on offense?
Well, I think, you know, they're getting the new quarterbacks as many reps as possible, letting them compete.
And that is a lot since those are the only two scholarship quarterbacks they've got right now.
I think they're excited about the Eric Singleton, the wide receiver from Georgia Tech. I saw him myself, and
he was as quick a player, Terry. I mean, everybody noticed this guy because he's so quick off when the ball is snapped. He's like full speed in less than a stride.
Yeah, and I think they're excited, may not be the word, but they feel better about the offensive line because you have depth, you have experience, you've got.
Well, you got some size.
You got nine players with starting experience. You got competition. The only issue I think there is you've got several guys that are not full contact or not participating due
to injuries. Your projected starting left tackle, Xavier Chaplin from Virginia Tech, had shoulder, I think it was shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
So he's not able to go through contact, but he's out there going through the drills. But yeah, you'd love to have your starting left tackle going through there. But, yeah, I like the depth that they have there on the offensive line. It'll be interesting. I mean, you've got multiple guys battling at guard and the right tackle spot.
But I'm completely Missouri. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's going to be great or it's not going to be great. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Bill, about the left tackle because, you know, the quarterback play has been so bad for so long at Auburn. The turnaround could be good, but the left tackle is such an intricate part of that.
Well, I guess unless Deuce Knight, your quarterback, since he's left-handed, then the right tackle would be critical.
Yeah. Right. Good point.
But I think Jackson's your quarterback.
But
we'll see.
And I think they went out and did the most important thing other than quarterback, which is getting a proven left tackle and getting a right tackle with a bunch of stars that can come in here and compete with Isaiah Miller when both are healthy.
And what about the kicking game, too, Brian, as well?
Got a lot of them.
Yeah, and, you know, Alex is back. He's feeling better. He's put on some weight. So that's one to keep an eye on. And then they brought in some other guys competing there. So that's a position that you think, even if things don't go as well as you'd hope for Alex, at least they've got some more guys there to compete for that job.
Yeah, and then
– again, guys, defense has not been the problem at all. The problem has been offense, and the people need to realize that.
No, I mean they do need to you know shore up or get a little you know hopefully get some experience quickly for some of the young defensive guys up front because they don't have a ton of experience up front defensively. But no, I've got a lot of confidence in DJ Durkin.
Yeah,
defensively.
I just the offense has been so bad for so long, and it's been such a detriment to this team and the season. Let's be honest, it's been bad. It's been real bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten old. It's gotten old real quick.
So, well,
take care, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Terry. I mean,
it's gotten so old so quick that people are hardly paying attention to Auburn spring practice right now. I'm almost surprised we got a call about it.
You know, the thing is, I don't know at many places where anybody's paying as much attention to spring practice. Spring practice ain't what it used to be.
In fact, we can talk about this at some point, but I kind of like you, Freeze's idea.
Oh, I love it.
About getting rid of spring and having the OTAs in June.
Yes.
I'm curious about how Don Dunn would feel about that.
Yeah, I like it. Bill and I talked about that last week.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea. I think it'd be more beneficial to everybody. I really do.
I mean, there are multiple reasons. I mean, selfishly, coaches are thinking they don't want to showcase the talent that they have out there for other people to come in and go, hey, you're not high on the depth chart. You can come play for us. But the other reason, and I think it's at least as important, and I'm sure more important than just that, is how much better they feel right now after going through 2 months of workouts and teaching. And they can do that even longer, go through the whole spring doing that. And then any of the players who aren't in school for the spring term are going to be there. And you'll have your whole team together when everybody starts working out. And you'll know exactly who you have for the fall. That's the craziest thing is you've got some players that aren't in yet. And there are definitely some players that are going to be gone by the time you start preparing for the season. So what's the use? What's the point of having these guys working, preparing for the season when you're not sure who's going to be back or how the new guys that haven't even gotten here will do?
And I think one other thing is, you know, you look at Auburn right now, there's 6, 7, 8 guys that had surgeries or are rehabbing from injuries that aren't really available or not full speed in the spring. You wait until June to do that, and most of those guys are back and ready to go and getting ready for the season.
Right. Now, the only thing that could be a problem is somebody gets hurt then. But people get hurt. They get hurt. A lot of times you see guys get hurt in the preseason fall practice,
Don. Right, for sure. Yeah, I think it's a great deal. I always liked having more time, you know, even moving spring practice back. I like the way they did it this year. You know, at the end of Coach Tubbs' tenure, we moved it up.
Yeah,
y'all were going seemed like you were
early,
signing
early.
Day, and it was spring practice
and,
next week.
You know, his deal was, I think, what he want. Okay, get it over. If we do have injuries, we got more time.
Yeah,
so you can. It works the other way too.
Yeah.
But I like that summer deal. I really do.
And I think back then the spring practices were much more physical.
Yeah.
Got after it. And now I think it's at least for Auburn, I think a lot of teams are, it's more of a professional
type. Right, right.
Run that way without as much.
Teaching, get a lot of reps.
Well, you got a lot more newcomers that are. Remember back in the day, you didn't have 30-something players enrolling midterm.
No, you had red shirts that were going to look at them and everybody.
You should know the system so you get out there and go ahead and get after it.
You probably had around 60 guys, at least 60 scholarship guys, maybe.
Right. And that you didn't have all these, transfers, portals, whatever.
Yeah, or the early signees from high school that you
exactly. We never had a guy come in early, hardly.
All right, we'll get one more call before we get to our bottom of the hour break. And John is next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Had a quick baseball question for you and then a quick football-basketball comparison. In baseball, real quick, I'm not sure what superpower Auburn will unlock by rowing the boat. And I wonder how many SEC basket – I wonder how many – baseball refs in the SEC, if they did basketball, I wonder how many ejections we'd average a ball game.
Well, that's going back to Kentucky, I guess, on, was it Sunday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was ridiculous. You know, Kentucky is one of those teams that chirps a lot and does a lot of stuff in the dugout.
They dance and whatever.
And a couple of guys were doing something in Auburn's dugout, and that's when the umpire decided he didn't like it anymore. And I think that really upset Auburn, and they had a a couple of guys ejected there, but that was silly. And then, I know the baseball team got swept at number 2 Georgia this weekend, but all 3 games were pretty competitive. That first game
they pitched it well.
They just needed to get a couple
big hit.
Clutch hits, right? And then the other two, I mean, they had the game Saturday, game 2-1. They just couldn't finish Georgia off in the bottom of the tenth there. And, so I when I look at Auburn baseball, I see the pitching staff still got to come together. They've got a lot of good, young, talented hitters. You feel like this team is going to be much better once we get into late April and May and everybody starts, maturing into their roles a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is they won the first 2 series. Yeah. They're 4-5, but they played 2 of the 3 series on the road. And they've just played as dangerous a team as you're going to play in the league over there in Athens.
Yeah, and in a place where they can hit a lot of home runs. They didn't hit as many as they used to do. And this time last year, I was 1-8.
Hey, a real quick hitter. Who do y'all see as the more impactful Georgia Tech transfer, Miles Kelly or Eric Singleton Jr.?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I mean, I got to go with Miles because he's been terrific.
Yeah.
He's been a great leader on and off the court.
Man, I'll tell you what, and he didn't shoot the ball well in Atlanta, but man, he was very good defensively and rebounding.
Yep.
I thought
had 6 rebounds for a guard. That's terrific. Did not have a turnover in 26 minutes, had 3 assists. So even when his 3-pointers aren't dropping, he is still impacting the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Appreciate the call, John. That's a really good question. I mean, that's
a couple of pretty good pickups
from Atlanta.
If there's a newcomer to get the most excited about, it's him for me right now.
Right now.
Other than maybe a quarterback, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Teresa, if you get a chance, give us a call back. We lost her, but we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
NAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Drew at the controls. Let's get back to the drive hotline. And Teresa is back with us. Hey, Teresa.
Hey, first of all, I normally, am too shy to call, even though I listen probably every day that you all are on the air. And no disrespect to Coach Dunn. We love you totally. And but since we're going to the Final Four, I just wanted to bring this back to basketball. talking today, since I'm a huge basketball fan, I think it's probably my number one favorite sport, but just to be in the Final Four is so amazing. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to thank the team and all the coaches for all the fun they've provided all of us as fans that have followed our basketball team, AU's basketball, for over 50 years. So it's been an amazing season. Sonny Smith, I loved him too, but Bruce Pearl just brought something electric to this team and the fans in the past couple of years. So thank you for that. And the other thing I wanted to say is one thing I've noticed on the team, there's been no kind of jealousies, it seems like, even though Janai and Chad Baker Mazar have been the sort of the superstars. It's like every one of them feels like each other, the other man is the superstar. And they're totally supportive of each other, it seems to a fan. So, and that, I think, really makes a team click. And then a coach, Pearl, seems to be enjoying and just treating them all like family. So I think that's made the fans really be more involved in the season. And I guess my question was, is Auburn the only team? I know we played Houston, Florida, and Duke.
Right.
And are they the only team that that has played each other or has seen each other? I think what I could tell, I don't know what the other teams, who the other teams played in tournaments, but it looks like we're the only team that has actually seen what the other teams have done. So, because we played them.
No, that's a great point, Teresa. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, when Auburn played Michigan State yesterday, mm-hmm. they'd played the other seven teams in the Elite Eight.
Oh.
It's crazy, uh-huh. crazy to think yeah. about. But no, I mean, unless I completely had just forgotten about something, no, I don't think any of the other three have played.
They have not.
The only team that the other three have played is all Auburn.
Yep. And they're in the final four. I think so too.
Yeah.
They've seen the other teams have seen us. So, but we have seen all the other three. So, I would think that would be an advantage, and maybe also too, it might be the. Well, I'm sure it's not the first time that's happened in history, but it seems to be so many history breakers this year, mm-hmm. First-timers. So I think it goes without saying and that Auburn has a special year, and maybe if it can be done, it can be done this year. I hope so. So,
yeah.
But anyway, thanks to you guys, and thanks for everything. Y'all keep us informed on. So.
Thanks, Teresa.
Uh-huh. Yeah, great
Bye-bye.
Call. This is only the second time this happened. The other time was Florida back in 2013-14 when they played every
yeah.
team in the Final Four.
Now, I mean, like I said, it was crazy thinking about that yesterday when Auburn was playing Michigan State, that no matter, you know, of course, we already knew who the other teams were going to
yeah.
be. But, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered in the other Elite Eight games because Auburn had played them. Auburn
played
every one of them except for Michigan State.
Auburn is one of the most battle-tested teams in the history of this.
No question about it.
Of this tournament.
Yep. And they are 1-2 against the other
true.
Three teams
true.
Because Florida and Duke beat them, and they beat Houston.
They could finish 3-2.
So who? I mean, the thing is, first of all, you can't be worried about Monday because you've got to win Saturday, and that may be as big a challenge as there is in the Gators. But if you can get back and get even with Florida on the year, then I had somebody ask, who do you want? I said, I don't care.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Win Saturday, and then you can beat, you know, you can beat either of those two
just
teams.
Win. Yeah, yeah. Just win. Yeah.
All right. 334-321-1390, and let's get back to the phone. Who was next?
James
is up next. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. So, I got some tea for you to pass on to the boys on the basketball team. They're predicting us to lose
yep.
all the way.
Yeah, Auburn right now.
6 points, ridiculous.
Yeah, it's funny that, I mean, Auburn was the number one national seed going in, and now they appear to have the longest odds, according to the folks that put them out there.
Yeah, we need to pass that to the basketball team, give them a little extra motivation for Saturday.
They'll know that.
I'm looking.
I can't
I'm
imagine needing extra motivation when you're playing
yes,
the Gators
sir.
after what happened at Neville.
So how's Broome doing? Has anybody heard anything else? Or is he still iffy? Or what do we know on that subject? Or
I don't believe he's iffy, but we have not got an official update on the status since after the game.
And the nice thing is you've got extra days.
Yes.
You're not playing Thursday or Friday, so that helps.
Yep.
He's not going to miss, believe
no.
me. They'll have him in there 24/7 getting treatment.
Oh, I guarantee you that.
yeah.
That guy is a winner, and you know because he's out there playing.
Exactly.
Hurt, sick, or whatever, he's gonna be out there winning because that's what he knows.
That's exactly right.
Bye, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you later.
Appreciate the call, James. 334-321-1390. As a lot of folks making plans to head out to San Antonio, looking forward to getting out there.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea. First of all, I don't know if I have tickets yet, but there'll be tickets. There will be tickets.
You go. I like your confidence.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there was an opportunity. We have season tickets. And so last night I decided, well, let me just go online to the website and look at my account and see if there is an opportunity to try to get tickets. And lo and behold, there was a lottery for faculty staff that I saw last night. And I went, gee, you know, I haven't seen anything about that. I was sort of hoping that they wouldn't send out any notice. But so I went ahead and put in for the allotted number, which is just 2 is all I can get for tickets. But I've had really good success getting road tickets, bowl tickets, things like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a shot there. But yeah, about 11:45 this morning, it came out. There came an urgent notice but faculty staff had like 3 hours to get their orders in. So it won't break my heart if a lot of folks didn't check their email until 5 like I usually do some days. But we're going anyway, and we'll find tickets. I am sure, and hopefully we're around for the
yes.
Wild.
Yes.
This is different though, since we didn't get to go to the Final Four back in 19. It is sort of it's an interesting kind of thing when you're going, because you lose and you're done and you're gone, and it's like, so how do you book flights? How do you book, you know, your place to stay when you don't know if you're going to be there for a couple of nights? You might be there for 4 or 5 nights.
That's right.
So I mean, it's been interesting, but hey, it's great to be able to have this opportunity. So we'd love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts on anything. Basketball, obviously, but football, baseball. Speaking of baseball, Derek Fabian from Auburn Baseball will be joining us at the bottom of hour number 2 for our weekly baseball Tiger Takes. But until then, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of hour number 1. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. I was about to make a commissioner's decision in our fantasy baseball league. But I don't know. I mean, we've been trying to put this thing together is when we're going to draft. The season's already been going on. I mean, not only do we have the 2 games in Japan, but you know, the season started Thursday, the full regular season. So this is crazy. But we may still be drafting, guys. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that one out. All right, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love to hear from you if you were over in Atlanta, even if you weren't. I mean, your thoughts on the Tigers as they get ready to head back to the Final Four. Let's see. When's Auburn heading out, Brian?
I have not seen a schedule yet, but I believe they've got to be out there Thursday.
I think there's press.
So I'm assuming it's Wednesday.
Yeah, so I believe there are some press obligations, some media obligations on Thursday. I was looking. Marlene had sent something out a couple of days ago. You're going out, right?
Yes, I will be there.
You know when you're going?
I think I am going on Thursday, but Stultz will be there Wednesday, so he'll have that first press conference covered.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, let's see. I was just trying to figure exactly when. But
I think the NCAA, don't they tell you when you have to, like you're saying, they
have to be there. You have set up specific practice time. I mean, they pay for the travel.
Right. They do all that, I think.
Yeah. If they I'm not mistaken. And they set, you know, when you can practice, when you have media obligations and things like that.
Right. I saw the women's Texas coach complaining about did they send them to Spokane or some?
Oh, I didn't see
that. But anyway. 7 a.m. shoot around. That's when the time
seven a.m.
Wow. He said we got college kids and we don't play till.
I mean, when you're unless you're playing a game at 7 o'clock sometime.
Yeah, it's just.
I mean, it's no sense to be doing that and doing.
But that was set by the NCAA, and you know, there's been a lot of complaints.
The NCAA, remember? Yes. I mean, no clue at all. That's right. What NCAA stands for.
Yeah, the women's. They've had problems the last couple of years.
Hmm. Yeah, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't think the guys are going to have any practice times like that.
No,
but still, that's
crazy.
That is crazy. We can talk about anything you'd like sports wise. Let's see. Again, there'll be a football media viewing window tomorrow morning, which is fairly early, like 8:15, I think
it is
what it is tomorrow. Who all did you get a chance to talk to today, Brian? I didn't get a chance to get over there today.
Let's see. We talked to Malcolm Simmons, Braden Joyner, Brandon Frazier, Robert Woodyard, Connor Liu.
How's Connor doing?
He seems to be doing well. I was not in that one. I was interviewing somebody. Okay. I think Robert was there at the same time, so I was with Robert. But I think he's doing much better. I know he's not going through contact.
He's going through. He was going through all the drills because the first time I looked out there, when they were snapping, when they were just lining up and just running, you know, no contact, just running drills. He was the center, and then I turned around and I looked up, and Braden Joyner is the center when they were going through contact.
Yeah, I mean, Braden's getting a ton of reps for that first team, so that'll be really good for him and the future of that offensive line too. Braden's a heck of a player.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot for him if he can snap the ball.
Yep,
he's built more like a center.
Definitely.
And Auburn's got quite a few guys there at the guard spot that are competing for playing time.
They do. Although I am never going to doubt Braden Joyner. He has exceeded all expectations, and anytime I think he can't do something, he does it. So would not be surprised if he's starting somewhere on that offensive line come fall.
No, but at guard, I mean, because he was there at guard, but I mean, you've got Dylan Wade, who's moved back in, Jeremiah Wright, DeAndre Carter, the young redshirt freshman.
They're excited about him for sure. Yep.
So I mean, you've got quite a few options there at the guard spot. And again, Terry was asking about, you know, just thoughts there on offense, and yeah, that is key. Auburn, not only, I mean, you think about it, pass blocking a lot of the times, but Auburn also unable to at times really get a push on short yardage over the last couple of years.
It's been a struggle. Every area of the offense, decision-making, catching the ball, blocking, you know. It's just been, other than the Kentucky game when they just ran down the throat, right, it's just been a struggle in SEC play for sure. We'll see. I mean, Hugh Freeze has had so much success over his career. But it's just not happened since he's been at Auburn. But this is the second year of him being in control. They've got more pieces on the board now to work with. So maybe they take a couple steps forward. They really need to.
Is there any question as to, you know, who's going to be calling the plays? Because it seemed like last year a couple of times there were some, Derek's calling the first down, Kent's calling third and long, you know, that kind of thing.
Hugh Freeze's offense, he's responsible.
It's his offense.
Yeah. So I have tried to just ignore all that stuff and just Hugh Freeze, it's his offense. He's calling the plays. He's running it. That's what he does.
Yeah, yeah. That's what got him where he is.
Exactly.
That's what made Hugh Freeze is his offense. And some of the things people – remember, I remember hearing coordinators talking about Hugh Freeze, one of the most difficult guys to go against. Yep. And I think, maybe trying to step back and let some of that go has taken a little bit of that away.
Yeah, I think the reason he says things is because he wants to give other guys credit and talk up their contributions. And it doesn't mean that the other guys on the offensive staff aren't contributing or aren't part of the play calling or don't have their first down sheets and don't you know, point out different things, but it's still Hugh Freeze's offense. It's still him making the final call.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. We're about halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Again, love to hear from you folks. How excited are you about Auburn heading and perhaps you heading to San Antonio for the Final Four? What do you think about that matchup against Florida? The Gators handled Auburn about as easily, I would say. That was probably the most dominant a team played against Auburn this year, Brian.
No question. They came into Neville Arena and just really took control of that game early and were in control the entire game.
Auburn could never really make a strong push in that one. Yep. All right, we'll be back with hour number two. Don't forget Derek Fabian will join us at the bottom of the hour for the Baseball Tiger Takes. But until then, we're wide open, so come on in here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two here on the Monday Drive. Boy, it is cleared off. Sun is shining now. Mm-hmm. We got some pretty good rain this morning.
Yeah.
The dog. I mean, our dog did not like it. I mean, dogs don't generally like thunder.
No.
And thunderstorms. But yeah, we got a good amount of rain. It washed the pollen away for a while.
Yeah. For a while.
Yeah.
Now these little things, I don't know what they are all over the
little pods.
Yeah, they're everywhere now.
Oh, they are. They are. My pool is like full of those things. We got the treetop out of the pool the other day though.
Great.
So that's good. So that's good. Still got to get it up and out, but it's at least it's not in the pool. But yeah, as a matter of fact, I even encouraged my wife today when it was raining to go out and start her car, back it out of the garage, let it sit in the rain for a little while. She did.
And
I forgot where she was. Phone call came for her, and I'm hollering for her, and it's like I'm looking all over.
Yeah.
And then I went and I thought, did she go to the garage? And I'd forgotten I'd said that. Open the garage. No, there she is, just backed out of the garage. it helped. My car looks a whole lot better. It was so nasty. But it was nice to get a little bit of rain. Welcome in on the Monday Drive. Hour number two, it's Bill, Coach Don Dunn, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Dan is in Fargo. We sent him. No, he's there for Troy women, for the Troy women in the NIT, the women's NIT. They're in what I believe the women's NIT calls the Great Eight. And if they win here, they would play Wednesday night in the Final Four, and the winner on Wednesday night would advance to the championship game on Saturday. So I don't know if Dan will be back until next week, just depending on who they're playing, if they win
and where
those games would be. But I think we got you covered here on this Monday with Bill, Don, and Brian. Love for you to join in. You can call us on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390, or text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number is 334-564-1840. Southeastern Industrial Contractors, also the sponsor of podcasts of the Drive, wherever you get your podcast. We talked obviously a good bit at hour number one, just about some of the initial reaction from Auburn's big win yesterday over Michigan State. I mean, as Teresa was mentioning a while ago, I mean, Bruce has made, I guess it's not like the official slogan, but I mean, one of the things he has repeated over and over and over this year is make history.
Yeah.
You know, they're making history.
And they're doing it.
They became the first SEC team to ever beat Tom Izzo in the NCAA tournament yesterday.
What was he, 8-0, I think, coming
10-0.
10-0, okay.
10-0.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, he had lost, but I mean, he had an unbelievable record in the Elite Eight as well.
Yeah.
I think he was 8-2. In the Elite Eight going into yesterday afternoon. But Auburn, got there, the game early on, a little back and forth. I mean, Michigan State took its only lead, I believe, at 8-6. Then Auburn went on a 17-0 run to go up 15. And from that point on, I mean, Auburn was in control.
Yes.
They really were in front of a tremendous Auburn crowd at State Farm Arena.
Yeah, if you were there, you made a difference. I really feel that. I think the players noticed it. They talked a lot about it after the game. And, you know, that support was definitely noticeable. Anytime the Michigan State crowd tried to, you know, rise up, make some noise, the Auburn crowd would immediately just, you know, scream over them or do a chant over them, and you couldn't even hear Michigan State anymore. So that they were just incredible into the game and played a big part in that win for Auburn.
Yeah, 70-64 in a game that Auburn really, I mean, it wasn't, even though they scored a couple of times, you went, oh, don't turn it over.
Right.
As there was a turnover, and they had a couple of threes late
they did.
To cut it. But, I mean, it really never got to that real nervous, you know, is Michigan State going to make that run? Because we'd seen it. I will say this about the tournament. There haven't been a ton of buzzer beaters.
Nope.
But there have been a lot of teams that have come from way back and won ball games, including Auburn.
Right.
I mean, so just the fact that a team had a double-digit lead didn't necessarily mean that the game was over when you're talking to even about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through a ball game.
Florida did to Texas Tech and Houston. Who did they do that to the round before that? Do you remember?
They should have lost. I just deleted my bracket.
Yeah.
I was looking at my bracket here a little earlier.
But yeah, you've had some great comebacks, but there's not been a Cinderella. And just for the second time in history, you got all four number ones there in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it the Gonzaga or Purdue? Because, I mean, Houston's had a couple of
tight
games.
Purdue by two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They only beat Gonzaga by five, but Gonzaga had to come from way behind.
Right.
Yes, it was Purdue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've seen it a good bit, but Auburn didn't allow that to happen against Michigan State. Jani Broome, you know, the votes are in, and I sort of expect Cooper Flagg to win the National Player of the Year. But you know what? The last couple of ball games, there's been nobody that has been more valuable on the court than Jani Broome.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can argue that Cooper Flagg's not a great player. I understand why he's the number one pick, but Jani Broome has been the best college basketball player this year, in my opinion. I just think that would be
– in the best league.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Cooper Flagg has been fantastic.
Yes.
He's got some great talent around him. I didn't think he was phenomenal against Alabama.
Mm-mm.
I mean, he turned the ball over some. He missed some shots. And he was definitely shocked to see Grant Nelson blocking his dunk attempt. So, I mean, but Jani yesterday was the man. I mean, he really
he took over.
Tom Izzo said, you know, there's no question that's why he's up for Player of the Year nationally. They didn't have an answer for Jani Broome yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, and it was Texas Tech, Arkansas I was thinking of. So Texas Tech had a great comeback.
Oh, Arkansas had him. Arkansas choked that one big time.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Texas Tech turned around and choked it against Florida.
So,
yeah. It's been a fun tournament. I mean, it hasn't, you know, you haven't had the Cinderellas, the crazy buzzer beaters. You don't have a big dark horse like I was saying a while ago here. It's crazy now that Auburn appears to be the long shot in the final four.
That? Number one
overall seed. The team that was number one for the most weeks of any team this year, the number one overall seed going into the tournament, and now they have the longest odds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Auburn can build on that.
Bruce think Bruce minds that?
Oh, no, he does not.
Bruce loves this.
Yep.
Yeah, so he
did his best to turn Auburn into an underdog against Michigan State, and he will absolutely do that against Florida. There'll be no question.
Yep.
Well, they will be an underdog. I mean, they are an underdog against Florida. But as we've said, I mean, Florida looking a little more beatable, even though they haven't lost here in the last few ball games. So we'll see a great Final Four, I think, on tap in San Antonio. So
looking forward to being there.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
We'd love to hear from you. Are you planning on going out? One thing, like I said, we don't know if we have tickets or not yet. We'll get some tickets. One way or another, right? Well, I feel a whole lot better about this. I mean, because of the seating capacity of the Alamo Dome.
Yes.
I mean, it is huge. Yeah. I mean, it's nearly triple the size of State Farm Arena as far as seating. So there should be seats available. And you wouldn't think that some of those distant seats are going to get a whole lot more expensive.
Right.
I mean, so we will see. But, yeah, the plan is for the whole family is heading out, and we're looking forward to that. We'd love to hear from you if you were in Atlanta or just your thoughts on the season up to this point. Like I said a while ago to Brian, I mean, there's no way now that anyone can argue that this isn't the best Auburn basketball team of all time.
Nope. Set the record for most wins. Tied the 2019 team by making the Final Four. Was number one for the longest period in school history. Went out and won the most prestigious preseason, but non-conference tournament out in Hawaii. I mean, they've done – there's a list of probably 20 historical things they've done this season.
You know, it all started – coming back from that huge deficit against Iowa State.
That's right.
Out there. I mean, that one, things did not look very good right then. You're thinking, was it 18? I think it was something
like
that.
I think that's right, yeah.
I think it was 18-point deficit at the half. And you're thinking, oh, crap, here's another team that's going to be good, but they're going to be up and down if they do this. They came back and won that. And I think that right there convinced this team – yeah, we can do it. We can compete with anybody, but we can't slop around and dig a hole like this.
Right.
And then, you know, from that point until really through the Kentucky game, I mean, they just went out and just
beat
people down.
They really did.
Yeah. So what a great year it has been. Hey, it ain't over.
Nope.
Got hopefully two more ball games on this season, starting with the matchup against the Gators at 5:09 on Saturday evening. We'd love to hear from you here in the second hour of the show, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Come on in and join us on the Drive hotline or text us on the Drive text box. I have no idea how my bracket did. I did have Auburn. Let's see. I've got three of the Final Four.
That's good.
Which isn't bad, but
that's great.
The problem was I had St. John's.
That got me too, Bill. Golly.
I did not expect Arkansas to knock off St. John's.
I was just getting ready to say that. They killed me, St. John's.
Yes. Yeah,
so. And I had Georgia going, I think, one more game.
It ooh, Georgia. Me. Georgia didn't even make it up. Georgia didn't make it a half. Mm-mm. Georgia didn't make it to the first time out. It was 25-3 or something the first time I saw a score in that ball game.
My bracket on ESPN ranks in number 4,058,963. So I'm right there. I'm pushing for the.
Wait a minute. I can pull mine up, can't I? Yeah. Let's see. Because my bracket, is. Yeah. Well, it was doing better. Yeah. Where'd you say you were? 4 million. What?
4 million something.
Yeah. So is mine.
Okay. There you go.
we're in the 80. I'm in the 80 something percent.
I am in second place in my family group, though, so look out.
Who's winning in your family?
Yvonne is my wife.
Yeah, that's the way it always goes.
So I'm coming for you.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
All right, let's get a call before we get to our first break here of hour number two. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. Good to hear you this afternoon. I'm still in the office, but I didn't want to miss out on this excitement. So. Hey, Bill, I know, when do you have Andy on this week?
Tomorrow.
I'd like for you to ask him this question. I'm not mistaken, with him and Rod being so close together, I wonder if he ever thought he was going to have really that kind of moment. As I look at Rod's, the copy of Rod's Call of the Kick Six hanging on my wall, who he was kind enough to sign for me. I really wonder, because I've seen the video of Andy calling that, especially the shot by Broom, and it was, well, not the same as the kick six. It wasn't the last shot of the game, but it was a pretty big shot in that game. And you could, I just sensed something different from him during that. I'd just really like to know how he felt when that was going on. That had to be remarkable.
Oh yeah, that's a great question. I'll try to remember to ask him that.
Yes. Well, if you don't, I'll call you tomorrow.
Well, that's good because I do forget things a whole lot more than I used to. If you'd asked me 20 years ago to ask him that, I might still remember it now. But from one day to the next, that's a different story these days.
Yeah. So a couple things is I kind of agree with most coaches. I'm not a big fan of spring football. Because it turns into glorified. I don't know what regular practices are like. The scrimmages are pretty much like flag football, and I know it gives them a chance to work. And I would be more excited about it as if we played a spring game against another school, home and away, every year. Go to their stadium 1 year and one to ours 1 year and play. With all the money going to charity or something like that.
Hugh Freeze has been calling for that ever since his very first press conference. He talked about that and saying, you know, let's play somebody else from in-state with all the find a charity that the money can all go to. And it's crazy because last week Deion Sanders said something similar and the national media jumped all over it. What a brilliant idea that Deion has come up with.
Crazy.
Sometimes you need the right leader to say it. I mean, it may make it work out. If I could figure out why people listen to certain people and not others, I'd be in a lot better place. And I'm very fortunate and blessed, but sometimes I wonder, why are you listening to that person? But by the way, I still remember the first time I ever saw Deion. He was a freshman at Florida State. Mm. And a buddy of mine who was a scout for the Orioles, I walk in to the stadium in New Orleans, not the baseball stadium, the football stadium. They used to play the Winn-Dixie Classic. And he said, hey, come sit with me a minute and watch this guy. And he hit a one-hopper to the shortstop and was turning around walking back by the time the ball got to first base is what it looked like. And then he was in center field and he ran like a deer. He goes, I don't know how good he's going to be, but this kid's going to be really, really good. So it was interesting to see him way back then during that time, which proves exactly how old I probably am. a couple things. Speaking of charity, I do have two tickets for tomorrow night. I won't be there. So if somebody that's not the charity part of this discussion, but if somebody wants them that wants to take a kid, I'm more than glad to transfer those tickets to them.
Oh, okay.
And due to a...
It's UAB tomorrow night, by the way, folks.
Yes. And an Auburn fan, by the way. Due to my poor scheduling, I'm also going to have two tickets to every game this coming weekend.
Ooh.
Because I've got a previous engagement that I can't get out of.
So will we, as a matter of fact, now that I think about
it. Here's my offer, and I'm doing this just to get it out starting on Monday. They're right behind home plate, right above the concourse. You pay me what the face value is for the ticket, and I will match it, and we will make a donation to Auburn Wheelchair Tennis.
Wow.
Awesome.
That's great.
That's the only way you're going to get them is if you have to pay for these.
Awesome.
So I'll tell you what, getting
the seats that you have at face value for it, for the Alabama series, that's a really good deal.
And don't worry, I have enough friends around there. If you're an Alabama fan, I think
they will know. They will report back to Tex. You're absolutely right. Everybody around Texas seats knows Tex.
So it's going to be – you're going to be in trouble if you show up wearing crimson.
Oh.
So, but anyway, I would like to do that just because one of the best sports, two of the adaptive sports that we have that are extremely good are wheelchair basketball and wheelchair tennis. And I've kind of taken a liking to the players and the coaches of the wheelchair tennis team. So I don't mind. They're going to all have to buy uniforms, and they don't get the same funding as the rest of our athletic teams do.
Well, that's great.
All right.
That's great, great.
Okay, so if anybody wants to know, Bill has – all you got to do is call Bill's show. He has
– We will put you in touch.
He'll put you in touch with each other. All right, Coach Dunn, when I'm up there for the week of Easter, I'm going to come what's the latest you're at Countries?
On Saturday mornings, I'm usually there till 8 a.m.
Okay. I'm going to find a way to come visit.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about that. I can come out. I'm not a vampire. I can get out in the sun.
I was hoping you were going to say like 8 o'clock at night.
No.
He's not going in.
I'm in bed by then.
Yeah, what time you go in?
Usually like about 1:30.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm crazy.
In the afternoon?
No. He goes in and gets
out. I know.
Yeah. I'm a nut.
So
my
just
wife
one,
thinks
Bill, if you have a... Time for just one more quick story. Do you remember David Heath?
Ooh, I remember the name.
He came from South Alabama.
Yeah, I remember
the
name.
We called him Mongo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We called him Mongo after Alex Karras' character. So when Mongo, he didn't play the year he was at Auburn. He was redshirting, but there were scouts that wanted to see him, and me and two other players helped put him through his workout in front of the scouts, and he ended up getting drafted by the Angels. So to thank us for it, he said, let's go to all-you-could-eat chicken at Country's.
Nice.
Well, if you would have seen Mongo coach, he could have played nose guard for you, too.
Okay.
He was a really good catcher, but he was also a big human being. Anyway, they asked us to leave about 2.5 hours in, and Mongo on about the 8th or 10th plate
wow.
full of barbecue chicken.
Oh, my goodness. So, that's a classic.
Yep. Same old one. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate it, guys. What a great run by this basketball team. I hope everybody gets healthy. And I really don't like the fact that so many people, the Jock show this morning just kind of blew past Auburn and talked about Florida, which is quite disappointing.
Well, that's quite understandable. Stadium. Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys, I appreciate y'all. Y'all take care.
All right, Tex, appreciate the call.
All right.
Yeah, we're running a little behind. Got to get to our first break here of hour number two. Don't forget, Derek Fabian joins us at the bottom of the hour for Baseball Tiger Takes as we continue with the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, and let's get right back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and G is up next. Hey, G.
Well, hey, guys. I was at all the games in Atlanta.
Great.
And obviously really enjoyed them. Did you get to go?
No, I wasn't able to go to Atlanta. Younger son and his wife went, but no, we weren't there.
Okay. Well, I can say this. When Broome got hurt, and then when he went in, and like everybody, it was like, geez, this is the last time we'll probably see him. And I was very close to the court, and I could tell that he was like, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, and they mentioned that on TV and showed him, apparently saying that, and I thought, oh, that's terrible.
Oh yeah,
that's terrible.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But then when he came back out, I'm not kidding y'all, it just felt like I was watching a movie. It was unreal. And like I said, when he hit the three, I went back and I watched the replay this morning. And when he hit the three, and then the commentator said, that's it. And that's exactly the way I felt, like that is it. But it was so much fun. I'm glad I got to witness it. I'm not going to go to San Antonio. I just don't want to watch a game in a football stadium. But I got to experience this, and it was really, really, it was really wonderful to experience
sure.
it. But
especially if you're pretty close to the court, that's fabulous.
Oh yeah. I was looking at my bracket a while ago. I heard y'all talking about the bracket. I did the ESPN.
Uh-huh.
I am at 99.5% online. And it ranks 120,000 is where I'm at right now.
I was there when the Elite Eight was as we're heading into the Elite Eight. I messed up. Well, I guess the fact every time that St. John's doesn't advance,
mm-hmm.
that's really hurt me.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Did you take St. John's all the way?
I had St. John's in the Final Four.
Okay. Well, I've got Auburn.
I'd rather be playing St. John's Saturday than Florida, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I got Auburn, Florida, Duke, and Houston.
Wow.
In my Final Four. So we'll see how it goes. But I got Duke beating Houston, and unfortunately I got Florida just because of the way they've been playing, beating Auburn. And yeah, I'm
well, I
didn't go with
man.
The heart.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. But we'll see how it goes. And obviously, you know, we're pulling for Auburn and hoping this thing will make history.
You're going to make it to San Antonio?
No, I'm not going to go. Like I said, I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch a basketball game and have to use binoculars. And I've heard from other folks, and I know you're going there, and I wouldn't discourage it by any means. But I really had a great, great experience in Atlanta, and I'm going to just keep it there, and we'll
understand.
See what happens.
Well, listen, yeah. my dad was at. And this is probably way before your time. Mm-hmm. My dad was in the Astrodome when Elvin Hayes in Houston stopped UCLA and Lou Alcindor's streak, and said it was great hearing everything, but he had no idea. He said it looked like ants running around down there on the court.
Well, I imagine they've got a big scoreboard or something that, you know, you'll be able to look at and so forth. So who knows? I don't know, but. I just did not want to see that, it that way.
No, I understand.
So, anyway, have a good time. And
all right, we're planning on it. Thanks, G.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to check in with Derek Fabian, talk a little Auburn baseball, as Baseball Tiger Takes is on the other side here on the Monday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls. And we are efforting... Auburn shortstop Derek Fabian, as he will be with us throughout the season on Mondays at around 5:30. I was just wondering if, because they moved that third game of the series with Georgia up to a doubleheader on Saturday, if that might have changed their schedule a little bit. Or it could just be because I completely whiffed last week.
Whoops.
While we were here in Auburn and made it to the Sweet 16, we got carried away and we're having a great time. And I forgot completely. We had Derek on with us a couple of weeks ago when we were at Franklin Tire.
That's right.
And then last week, I just brain lock and didn't think about it. But hopefully we'll be able to get Derek in here shortly and talk with him as the Tigers back in action tomorrow night hosting UAB before Alabama comes in
another top
for
10
a
team.
Big series this weekend.
Yep, a lot of focus will be on what's happening in San Antonio, but that doesn't mean you can't get out to Plainsman Park and support this baseball team.
Yeah, no question. I mean, in this league, I mean, it is we've talked about it so much with basketball and the grind that there is in basketball. It's exactly the same in baseball every week. Every weekend, you're going to be facing another, you know, very talented team, and it won't be any exception this week when Alabama comes in. But UAB on tap first tomorrow night. So we do have our regular Baseball Tiger Takes guest on now on the line with us as we talk with senior shortstop Derek Fabian. Tiger Takes brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Visit them today at 217 North College Street. Or book online at 12ksalon.net. Derek, man, how you doing today? Thanks for being with us.
Man, I'm doing awesome. How are y'all doing today?
Doing fine. I apologize again for last week. We got carried away, and I just completely whiffed, like I said last week. But glad to talk with you. Would have been great. I mean, last week we can sort of catch up on the last 2 weeks. Great to go on the road and get a road series win last week at Kentucky, and then you go to number two Athens and just close but no cigar and now you at least have that road series win and you come back in getting ready for big in state matchups this week.
Yes, sir. We you know, headed into Kentucky, we had all the confidence in the world. Went out there, proved it to everybody, but mostly we proved it to ourselves that we can hang on the road in this league. As you know, this is the toughest league in America, in my opinion. But
no doubt.
Then we went on to Georgia and didn't play our best brand of baseball. But on the bright side of that, we competed with a really good team, and we weren't playing our best. So we all believe our best baseball is in the future. So, you know, we're getting back on track tomorrow against UAB.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got seven more conference series, and again, you're not going to I don't think you're going to face much stiffer challenges, especially, man, when you go to a ballpark like that with a team that can hit the ball the way they can. I mean, so close to nearly pulling out that, I guess, the first game on Saturday, which in hindsight, I mean, I don't guess they really had to end up moving it up. But, I mean, you guys very close to pulling that out. And, again, the fact that after struggling a little offensively on Friday night, I thought the bats stepped it up on Saturday.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. We made some adjustments going into game two and game three of that series, and it obviously paid off. But as you know, baseball is a team game. You can't do it all on the offensive side or all on the pitching side of things. So, you know, heading into the future, we're gonna put together more complete games as a whole. Our pitching staff has a lot of confidence in our offensive guys, and the offensive guys have a bunch of trust in that pitching staff. So we're looking forward to putting the game fully together. I think headed into the future, we're going to do that. So that's something for the fans to look at and look forward to. But, yeah, that's really all there.
You know, I asked Ike the other day. We were talking with Butch and Ike and John Armstrong came by as well. And Ike's when he's in a groove the way he has been here for the last week or so plus since he came back from that injury scare, man, he's something to watch, isn't he?
Man, me and Cooper McMurray, actually, we were telling all the new guys that, hey, y'all have finally met Ike Irish. Like, yeah. His first couple weeks, he wasn't himself, but, you know, after he's come back from that injury, he's ripping the cover off the ball. I think he has, like, six homers in the last five games or whatever it is. But truly, I think where he's grown the most this year compared to last year is his leadership. He's always boosting guys' morale around the field. You know, him playing good is a key part to our success. So he's definitely one of our best, and we're looking forward to watching it just like everybody else is too.
Yeah, I made the mistake of asking Ike about his hot streak, and he said, it's not a hot streak. I'm doing what I can do and should do.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That was good.
Hey, we talked about it earlier. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago with you, but this lineup, potentially top to bottom, there's so many guys that can really rake up and down this lineup that you guys have.
Oh, for sure, man. It just gives us great depth. You know, if the top half's not getting done, the bottom half will pick them up, or vice versa. You know, I think of guys like Bub Terrell, who had three hits on game three. Mm-hmm. After, you know, his Friday night game wasn't his best, but, you know, he has the ability to bounce back in a snap of a fingers. I think that's just a tribute to all of our mindsets, that we have confidence, we know we're good enough, and each and every at-bat or game, we're going to give it our best. And we got some very talented players on this roster that can do it for us each and every game.
Yeah, and Bub, one of those freshmen. I mean, when you look at Chase and Chris and Bub, I mean, guys that are stepping in, and this is such a big jump from high school to the SEC that it's amazing to see how well they've been able to make that transition early.
Yeah, going into the fall, we had a bunch of new guys, obviously, and we were all the guys that were returning were kind of like, hey, let's see how they fare in this, you know, big boy league almost. And they made the jump seamless. Looking at the freshman side of things, I mean, those three freshmen that have been in the lineup for the majority of the time have been awesome for us. They give us depth in the lineup like we talked about just a little bit ago, but
going forward, I expect nothing less now that they've proven it. So I'm just super excited where we're headed this year and where the program's headed down the road.
And it's also, I mean, you hate when one of your regulars isn't out there, but I mean, Ike being out really allowed Chase a little more time. You know, Eric has been battling some injuries, and that's really given Chris more time. So it's actually helping build depth.
Yeah, I think going forward, our guys are going to have to prove each day that, you know, they're able to be out there, because, like we said earlier, we have so much depth going throughout the team right now. But I'm just – I can't stress this enough how happy I am for these freshmen to be able to get in the SEC early and prove to themselves more than anybody else that they're good enough to play in this league, because confidence in baseball is everything. So I'm just extremely happy for those guys.
And again, 4-5 in conference play. I mean, that doesn't sound great, but again, you've had two of your three series on the road, and it's got to feel good to be heading back home to Plainsman Park for a while now.
Yeah, we're about tired of heading on the road for so many straight days. I think it was 8 or 9 or something like that on the road. You know, the Auburn family is going to show out for this weekend for sure, like they always do, especially because it's Alabama and nobody likes those guys. But yeah, we're all excited to get back in front of the fans. We've missed them just as they've missed us. And, you know, we're excited to be at home.
Yeah, going to be great atmosphere. Should be great crowds. Starting tomorrow night with UAB coming in, but then Alabama, as you said, for this weekend. I think we asked you this a couple of weeks ago, but I was going to ask you in a little different, sort of a different way. What is your favorite? Because somebody asked me this, so I wanted to say, well, let me ask a player. What is your favorite part of the new look Plainsman Park? Do you got a favorite of the new additions and renovations?
Yeah, so my favorite part is the new additions on top of the wall in left field.
Mm-hmm.
Although it cost me a home run.
Yeah, it did.
That part does not sound too great.
It wasn't the wall's fault. It wasn't the folks' fault. It was the ump's fault.
Yeah, but I had a couple buddies come up to watch the series at Vandy, and I know they were chirping that left fielder, so it makes it more of a hostile environment to play at. So I'm definitely enjoying that part of it.
Oh, yeah, no question about it, man. Really appreciate you spending a little time with us. Let everybody know how they can follow you on social media.
Yes, sir. It's Derek_Fabian on Instagram. That's all I've got.
That sounds good, Derek. Hey, man, again, thanks for spending some time with us. Best of luck this week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. War Eagle.
Derek Fabian joins us each week for Tiger Takes Mondays at 5:30 here on The Drive on ESPN 106.7. Tiger Takes brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Call to book your next appointment at 334-209-2900. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Monday Drive.
Remember when you would dream about what you would grow up to be? Imagine.